The raccoon problem is under control. They have their part of the town, and we have ours.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that survived by holding on to its butt. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and playing with me today are Derek Quiz Cat Martz.
This big hunk's worth 100 grand.
Anna Banana Stand Compersero.
There's always victory in the banana stand.
And Bobby Jersey Blockbuster Krutt.
You're Betamax on VHS.
A hearty hello to all our players, and thank you for joining us as we enter the playoff rounds of our first season. It's the Sabor de Soledad Division Finals. Keeping score for us today is the one, the only score master, Dan. Welcome, Dan.
You know, Taylor, this is the playoffs. We're expecting big scores of everybody today. So I dusted off the TI-85 and brought that in. We are ready for scientific notation today.
We'll make sure to make some fun graphs that are in inappropriate shapes, as we all did in seventh grade with that calculator. And also joining us, working the ones and zeros with all the bells and whistles, is production master Dave. Hi, Dave.
Thank you for this award. It is a tribute to this great country that a man who once took a shot at Teddy Roosevelt could win back your trust.
Thanks, Dave. All right. As per usual, we've got three rounds of pop culture trivia today, but we're going to start it all off with a round of My Champion. It's the game where our players choose a fictional champion from pop culture, and we pick the battle that they're fighting. Derek Martz, who is your champion today?
Chidi Anagonye from The Good Place.
And Anna, who have you chosen as your champion?
My champion today is David Rose from Schitt's Creek.
And Bobby, who are you championing today?
I'm shifting gears into the music world, and I've selected Bruce Springsteen.
All right, champions are locked in. I will be the judge of your arguments after you've made them, so feel free to pander to me if you so choose. But before that, let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, which champion would best fit in as a member of the band Earth, Wind, and Fire? All right, Derek, make your argument for Chidi Anagonye.
Well, Chidi's from Earth, so there's one. And he was killed by an air conditioner, so that's the wind. And then the fire is just the fire within him that keeps him from ever resting or relaxing. And he's a shining star.
Great answer from Derek. Anna, how about David Rose from Schitt's Creek?
Well, though I think David lacks maybe the positivity and optimism of an Earth, Wind, and Fire, sort of the spirit of Earth, Wind, and Fire, I think he certainly, he doesn't lack in incredible outfits, sort of disco fabulousness, and as he proved in the show, singing. So I think he's stage presence for days.
Thank you, Anna. And Bobby, how about the boss himself, Bruce Springsteen, as a member of the band Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Well, I feel like I have an unfair advantage here in that he is a musician already who plays with a very large band. But there are other aspects that maybe have not been considered, like the fact that he would show up at the venue and have lots of extra denim to share with the band. And if you think of Philip Bailey's great 70s pantsuit denim bedazzled outfits, they'd be able to share that way and then go into a 3-hour mashup of Shining Star and Born to Run. And everybody would be pleased with this 3-hour encore. It seems like a natural fit in my mind, at least.
Awesome. Well, I truly loved every one of these arguments, but just the simplicity and the literalism of Derek's argument has really won over my heart today. So today's my champion winner is Derek with Chidi from The Good Place. That means you'll go first in round one and get a crack at the half point. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's half a point and could be helpful in breaking a tie at the end of the game. Here is your half point question. Today is September 21st, the date referenced in one of Earth, Wind, and Fire's most enduring hits, September. Part of its legacy is an annual series of videos on Twitter of this comedian dancing to the song in ways that increase in extravagance each year. He's also known for writing on The Good Place, as well as half of the Gilmore Guys podcast. What is this comedian's name?
Okay, I'm a little worried about pronouncing his last name, but I'm gonna do my best. Demi Adigwebe.
Pretty great on the pronunciation. Nice job, Derek. You've won the half point, and you'll also go first in round one. What to accept when you're accepting. In this game, we're going to test your vocal identification skill for several Hollywood figures. We'll play you a clip of someone accepting an Academy Award. You name the speaker. For instance, if I played you this clip.
The first time I didn't feel it, but this time I feel it. And I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
You would know that the person making that speech was...
Sally Field.
Sally Field for Places in the Heart. If you would like a hint, I can tell you the name of the movie for which that speaker is accepting. Then next, I'll ask you a related follow-up question about the first part of your answer. 10 points for naming the speaker in the clip right away, but only 5 points after that hint, and then 5 more points if you can get the follow-up. Derek, going first, you'll identify the speaker in this clip.
You know that my work in this case is magnified by the fact that the streets of heaven are too crowded with angels.
Hearing anyone familiar in there, Derek?
Oh, boy. Okay, I think that's Tom Hanks.
Yes, accepting his first Oscar for the film Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. The line, "The streets of heaven are too crowded with angels," was later used in a presidential speech on what NBC drama series?
The West Wing?
The West Wing is correct. Full points for Derek. Bobby, here's your first clip.
This is a terrible mistake because I used up all my English. No, I don't know. Oh, this is... I'm not able to express all my gratitude.
That is, after climbing across all the chairs in the theater, that is Roberto Benigni.
Yes, for Life is Beautiful. Now, Roberto Benigni is one of two people to direct themselves to an acting Oscar. Which British dramatic icon is the other?
I want to say Kenneth Branagh, but I don't think that he's won an Oscar before. And Laurence Olivier.
Oh, very good.
All right.
Directed himself to a Best Actor win for Hamlet in 1948.
Okay.
Anna, here's your first Oscar acceptance speech.
I wish my son and my partner, H.W. Plainview, were up here with me, the mighty Dylan Frazier. So many people to thank.
Oh, gosh, I feel like I can see his face, but I can't. Can I please have the hint?
This person is accepting an Oscar for There Will Be Blood.
Oh, it's method acting dude. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Very good, Daniel Day-Lewis. Now, since There Will Be Blood, Anna, Daniel Day-Lewis has only appeared in 3 movies. They are Lincoln, Phantom Thread, and what 2009 musical?
Oh my goodness, what 2009 musical? Okay, I'm thinking... I am coming up blank, which is a traitor to my craft.
That 2009 musical is the movie Nine, based off the Maury Yeston musical, in turn based off the Federico Fellini film 8 1/2, where Daniel Day-Lewis does an Italian accent. All right, Derek, here's your next acceptance speech.
I want to thank my manager, Vincent Cerenzione. He's been with me for 12 long years, and you've fought every fought, and you've loved me when I've been up, but more importantly, you've loved me when I've been down.
Anything familiar in there?
I'm gonna need the hint.
This person is accepting Best Actress for Monsters Ball.
Halle Berry.
Yes. But after winning for Monsters Ball, Halle Berry has not received another Oscar nomination. In fact, there's only one black woman in history to receive another acting Oscar nomination after winning. Who is she?
Viola Davis?
Davis did win for Fences, but has not been nominated since. Who you're looking for is her The Help co-star, Octavia Spencer, who went for The Help and was since nominated for The Shape of Water and Hidden Figures.
That actually came up in the last episode I was on, so...
That's funny.
That's a tough one.
Bobby, this next Oscar clip is for you.
I have 2 words to leave with you tonight.
ladies and gentlemen, Inclusion Rider.
That is the incredible Frances McDormand.
Yes. And Frances McDormand won one out of the two acting Oscars that went to Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Who won the other one?
Sam Rockwell.
Yes, for Best Supporting Actor. Next up is a clip for Anna.
I know you Americans are famous for your hospitality, but this is really ridiculous. I have so many thank yous, I only know where to start, and that's with Mr. Walt Disney, and naturally, he has the largest thank you of all. I wouldn't know where to stop.
Oh my goodness, is that Julie Andrews?
It is indeed.
Oh, wonderful.
Julie Andrews was cast in Mary Poppins, the role for which she won her Oscar, after being passed over for this movie, which she had previously played the lead role on stage in London.
Oh my. Oh my goodness. Oh God, now my mother's gonna kill me. I don't know.
That is the Best Picture winner from that same year, My Fair Lady.
Of course.
But Julie Andrews doesn't get the movie, instead goes and wins an Oscar for something else. Derek, this next Oscar acceptance speech is for you.
Well, it's my privilege. Thank you.
Is that Joe Pesci?
Yes, one of the shortest speeches ever for Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci's acceptance speech was famously short. At the 90th Academy Awards ceremony in March of 2018, what did host Jimmy Kimmel offer up as a prize to whoever gave the shortest acceptance speech of the night?
An iPhone.
No, it was a Wave Runner or jet ski, which he gave to the, I think it was one of the sound mixers, but don't quote me on that. All right, Bobby, this next clip is yours.
Billy Crystal. God, I crap bigger than him.
Yeah. I think it sounds like a drunk Mel Gibson, but I think it's Jack Palance from City Slickers, right?
Yes, indeed. Jack Palance for City Slickers. Now, although Jack Palance's character Curly dies in City Slickers, Palance returned as Curly's twin brother in the sequel. What was the name of that twin?
This is where working at a Blockbuster in the 90s pays off. It was The Legend of Curly's Gold. Oh, wait, what was his name? Oh, I got
the name of the twin brother.
The name of the twin. I got too boastful. What was the name? Curly. Oh, I have no... was it just Jack and an homage?
Duke was the name of that twin brother. Duke.
I learned a good lesson about getting too cocky just now.
All right, Anna, here's your next clip.
I just want to... here we go. Okay, the studio, I love you, and Cameron Crowe, and Tom Cruise. I love you, brother. I love you, man. Derek Rose, Sean Settles, Keith Butler, all my behind the scenes crew, Regina King, I love you.
Okay, that's Cuba Gooding Jr.
Indeed. At the end of that clip, Gooding thanks his on-screen wife, Regina King, though she herself was not nominated for Jerry Maguire. For what 2018 movie would Regina King eventually win her Oscar?
Oh my gosh. All that's coming to mind for Regina King right now for me is Watchmen, which is insane. Gosh, it's on the tip of my tongue and I can't pull it.
The movie you're looking for is If Beale Street Could Talk. If Beale Street Could Talk, the Barry Jenkins film.
Of course.
And that'll send us into our first score break. Scoremaster Dan, how are our players doing?
Most of the way through round one, we have an incredibly tight game. Right now, Anna has 25 points, Derek is just ahead with 30 points and the half point, and Bobby is in the lead with 40.
We'll see if Derek and Anna can catch up a little bit. Derek, here's your next clip.
We have fought for everybody else's equal rights. It's our time to have wage equality once and for all, and equal rights for women in the United States of America.
Anything familiar in there, Derek?
It sounds like an actress. So that narrows it down. Can I have the hint?
Sure. This person is accepting an Oscar for the movie Boyhood.
Oh, Patricia Arquette.
There you go. That's how you use the hint. Now, prior to the Oscar success of Boyhood, director Richard Linklater had already earned 2 screenwriting nominations for earlier movies whose titles share a word. Name both of those movies.
Before Sunset and Before Sunrise.
Oh, not quite. It's Before Sunset and Before Midnight. Just the second and third in the trilogy got him that screenwriting nomination. Next up is for Bobby.
I became an artist, and thank God I did, because we are the only profession that celebrates what it means to live a life.
That is Viola Davis.
Yes, the previously mentioned today, Viola Davis. In 2016's Fences, Davis stars alongside Denzel Washington and character actor Stephen Henderson. Henderson also had a small role in which other Best Picture nominee from 2016, which would itself win for Best Actor and Original Screenplay.
20 years are starting to blur together a little bit. 2016. Is that... I wish I could think of it. I know it's not Moonlight, but I can't keep thinking about the La La Land Moonlight thing, so I'm just going to say Moonlight so I can say something.
Moonlight is that year, but Stephen Henderson has a small role in Manchester by the Sea. He also won an Oscar for Casey Affleck and a screenplay for Kenneth Lonergan. Anna, here's your next Oscar acceptance speech clip.
When I look down at this golden statue, may it remind me and every little child that no matter where you're from, your dreams are valid. Thank you.
I believe looking resplendent, it was Lupita Nyong'o.
Absolutely. Lupita Nyong'o had a supporting role in what airborne Liam Neeson thriller, which opened to theaters just 2 days before she won her Oscar?
An airborne Liam Neeson thriller? It's one of those movies where he's on a plane and somebody is, like, stolen on a plane. Is it Taken 7? Like, I don't know.
I like that guess, but the answer we're looking for there is Non-Stop. Non-Stop, the Liam Neeson plane thriller.
The airborne version of Taken would be Departure.
We're on a roll here. All right, Derek, here's your next Oscar speech clip.
Well, I am I'm not a good enough actor anymore to be able to stand up here and make you believe that that I haven't imagined this moment in my mind over the years and played it out about 1,000 times.
That sounds like Ron Howard.
Yes, actor-turned-director Ron Howard. And after winning for A Beautiful Mind, Ron Howard has only once again been nominated for Best Director at the Oscars. It's for this historical drama with a semi-presidential title.
Semi-presidential. Frost Nixon?
Very good. Just the epiphany got you there. I love it. All right, Bobby, here is your next clip.
I want to say, like Jimmy Cagney said once, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my brothers and sister thank you, and I thank you very much. Thank you.
That's Guillermo del Toro, correct?
Accepting Best Director for The Shape of Water. You know, despite The Shape of Water's Best Picture win, it is only Del Toro's 4th highest grossing film at the U.S. box office. What techno-fantasy flick is Guillermo del Toro's highest earner?
In a way, it's surprising, but is it Pacific Rim?
Indeed. A movie that is known as a financial flop is still Del Toro's highest grossing movie. All right, Anna, here is your final Oscar clip.
First of all, I want to thank 2 people who don't even exist. Or I should say, they do exist because the imagination of Annie Proulx and the artistry of Larry McMurtry and Diana Ossana. Their names...
Let me have the hint, please.
This person is accepting an Oscar for Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, okay, I was wrong then. I can't remember his name. Oof, I'm rusty today. I don't know.
Ang Lee.
Yes, Ang Lee. You know, Ang Lee has been nominated for Best Director 3 times at the Academy Awards, winning twice. He was nominated for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon for the year 2000, but he lost to this American director, nominated that same year for Traffic and Aaron Brockovich. Anna, who is that director?
Traffic and Aaron Brockovich.
Director we're looking for there, Steven Soderbergh. Soderbergh.
Of course.
A little bit of a stumble for Anna at the end of round one, but still a lot of game left to go. Up next, it's a score break from Dan, and then on to round two.
This is the Justice for Rhea Seehorn score break. Seriously, Emmy voters, what are you doing? After one round of play, Bobby is in the lead with 65 points. Derek has 50 points and the half point, and Anna is in third place with 35. But that means she's going to get to go first in round two.
Thanks for that, Dan. Still plenty of game to go, and a little extra help coming to our third place contestant. It's the Threequalizer. Anna, we've got a chance for you to make up some ground with that Threequalizer question. You'll get a question that has exactly 3 answers and 3 guesses to match as many answers as you can, with 10 points for each answer you can get. Your Threequalizer question is, between 1993 and 2006, NBC's must-see TV lineup featured 3 shows with cities' names in their titles. What are those shows?
Good Morning Miami. Oh gosh, that's the creechiest one to know. But I loved it.
that's the one I least likely thought someone would
get. I know, that was a great show. Mark Feuerstein. Okay, I'm thinking about the other ones. From 1993 to 2006. What are other cities? All that's coming to my brain is Chicago Hope, which I know is wrong, and Caroline in the City.
No, it's just the word city, not an actual city.
Yep.
You get 10 points for Good Morning Miami, but you're looking for L.A. Law and Boston Common were the other two.
Forget it.
With that, though, there's still no better way to get to know someone than learning a bit more about their personal taste in pop culture. First, we have Derek Martz, who wants to share his particular love for a particular Ben Folds song.
Yeah, so there's a song from the reunion album called Draw a Crowd that really inspires me. You're going to have to bleep this, but the chorus is, if you can't draw a crowd, draw it on the wall. It really just makes me think about how if nobody's paying attention, I might as well have fun.
Love that. Thank you, Derek. Also playing with us today is Anna Campersero, who has a controversial opinion about beloved TV drama Breaking Bad.
My controversial opinion is that I just think that entertainment should be entertaining. And I don't find it entertaining. I don't find it entertaining to be punished week after week with depression and sadness and drudgery. And so, you know, I just think we deserve better than that.
Wonderful. I'm sure there's some kindred spirits who are hearing this right now and raising their fists in solidarity. Thank you, Anna. And of course, returning to the show is Bobby Krutt, and he wants to take this opportunity to talk about a potential addition to the Academy Awards.
Well, this is, you know, when you asked the question, I realized that now you probably were looking for kind of funnier responses, but this is a very real response that I think that there should be an Oscar for casting directors because it's such an important part of putting a project together. And I remember a couple of years ago, HBO did a documentary about them, and there were a couple of pretty well-known directors who were very dismissive about the casting directors. And I just thought, I want it to be my life, energy, and vibe mission to get an Oscar for these people, to stick it to these jerky people who thought it was not important. So yes, I think there should be an Oscar for casting directors. And I am not a casting director. It sounds like I am, but I am not.
just to make sure we're on the level. Well, thank you, Bobby. You know, Anna did an okay job identifying names of cities. So we're going to keep that city love going with a game called...
And Where the Hell Was I?
And Where the Hell Was I? In this game, I've headed out to a famous location from pop culture, and you have to guess where I am from the clues I provide. For instance, if I told you that I was trying to stay away from the murder clown over by Wayne Enterprises, you'd know that I was in...
Gotham City.
Gotham City, home to Batman. I'll give you three clues, and the sooner you get it, the more points you get. So 30 points for a right answer, and minus 10 for each additional hint you ask for. But remember, you only get one guess, so use it wisely. Anna, your first clue to a pop culture city is, we have ample parking day or night.
I would like the first clue, please.
I've heard a lot about alien abductions in the area, but I'm more worried about the man-bear pig.
South Park.
There it is. All right, Derek. Norman Mailer used to sit right over there with his iced tea.
Stars Hollow.
Yes, and what show is that from?
Gilmore Girls.
Yes, home to Lorelai and Rory. 30 full points. Bobby, here's your first clue. From the mountains outside town, I can see all the bordering states. Ohio, Nevada, Maine, and Kentucky.
Oh, this is Springfield.
Yes, home to The Simpsons. Strong showing from all our players. Coming into Anna's next city. Coming into Anna's next city, I'm a medium-sized town with a museum, two colleges, and at least 12 Gothic cemeteries.
I think I know what it is, but please give me the hint.
Sure, your next hint is, I'm not quite sure why so many mystical artifacts are hidden in a California town.
That's the town from Buffy, which I think is Sunny... I can't remember if it's Sunnydale or Sunnyvale. Let's go Sunnyvale.
Oh, it was Sunnydale. Sunnyvale is a real town in California, but Sunnydale is from the show.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Derek, this next one's for you. I'm always hanging out with my buddies at the Drunken Clam.
Quahog from Family Guy?
Yes, Quahog from Family Guy. Bobby, here's your next one. Just outside of town is Eastwood Ravine, named after a hero who died trying to stop train robbers.
Ooh, I'm going to definitely need a hint.
We go shopping at the Lone Pine Mall, which some people remember being called the Twin Pines Mall.
Oh, so this is Back to the Future, but I don't remember the name of the town that they're in Back to the Future. Oh.
Do you want the last hint?
Yeah, I better take the last hint, yeah.
You know, the clock on the courthouse got struck by lightning back in 55.
Okay.
So real helpful for the piece of knowledge you were searching for.
Clock
there.
Town? What was the town? I literally just drove past Doc Brown's house in real life out here in Pasadena. So I am going to just say, because I have no clue, Pasadena.
The town there from the Back to the Future films is Hill Valley, California.
Hill Valley, God, okay.
But also like Hill or Valley, make up your mind, town name.
Thank you.
All right, Anna. I'm only 2 hours from the beach, 4 in traffic.
West Covina from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Do you want to sing your answer?
West Covina.
Oh, thank you. Beautiful. Derek, this next one. I'm just surrounded by quarries.
I need the second clue.
I can get all my local news on BDRX.
Oh, boy.
Anything you're leaning towards?
Well, when you said the quarry thing, I was thinking about Doctor Who, but that's not... I need the third hint.
Some people like the Cavern on the Green, but I prefer the drive-up that serves Brontosaurus ribs.
That would be Bedrock from the Flintstones.
Yes, indeed. For 10 points, Bedrock. Coming over to Bobby, here's your next hint. Sure, we've got a raccoon infestation and an obesity crisis, but we also have a can-do attitude.
I was so hoping that I would get this. Pawnee.
The raccoon problem is under control. They have their part of the town, and we have ours.
Nice job. And on that big score for Bobby, let's get a score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Most of the way through round 2, Anna has made up quite a bit of ground. She now has 95 points. Derek has 120 and the half point, and Bobby is still in the lead with 125, but still anyone's game.
All right, very close. Anna, here's your next clue. Our town was founded by Bohemian lesbians in the 1890s.
What a great description, but I do need a hint, please.
Lately, lots of Japanese tourists have been coming for the Aurora Borealis.
Oh. I'm gonna need one more hint.
Not too many cars on our roads, but watch out for moose.
I feel like it's the town from Northern Exposure, and I don't remember the name of that town, so I'm gonna pass.
You're half right, Derek. What's that town from Northern Exposure?
Sicily, Alaska?
Yes, Sicily, Alaska. Derek, this next one's for you. I heard that the sweet shop has a secret passage in the basement.
Oh, boy. I need another.
People used to think the abandoned house outside of town was haunted, but it was just a werewolf.
Oh.
Sounds like you've had a realization.
Yeah, it's from Harry Potter. It's just what's the name of the town? is where Hogwarts is, and Harry was trying to get like a day pass to go visit Hogsmeade. Hogsmeade?
Yes, Hogsmeade.
Oh, okay.
When you said it, I was like, does he not know? He just said the right answer. Very good, Derek. All right, Bobby, here's your next city. I get here by the Gold Road, but the Rose Road to the King's Road works just as well.
Oh, boy. This sounds like a show that I do not watch, so I'm going to need a hint.
I try to stay away from Flea Bottom.
I think I know what this is, but I'm going to, just to be safe, I'm going to take the other hint.
I haven't been to the Red Keep or the Iron Throne in years. It's just too touristy.
So, I have never watched a moment of Game of Thrones, but I think that's what this is. And I don't, I mean, Winter's Fell, Swordly Town. there's got to be some name I've heard somewhere, but it's got to be Game of Thrones. Winterfell.
Winterfell is a town in Game of Thrones, but the city described here is King's Landing. King's Landing.
Yeah, no, I never would have gotten
on the right track.
Swordly Town.
I've never heard that.
All right, Anna. If you need a freezing chamber, we've got a big one downstairs.
Ooh. Hint, please.
Our major industry is Tibana gas mining, and the views are incredible.
Tibana gas mining? One more hint, please.
They really should put up some signs around those big exhaust pipes. Somebody could fall and lose a hand or something.
It's at the tip of my brain. For some reason, my brain is either going Wakanda or Chernobyl, so I don't know.
They were looking for?
Cloud City.
Yes, the Cloud City above Bespin from The Empire Strikes Back. All right, Derek, your next one. I've seen lots of weird stuff around here. That evil curiosity shop, the rabid dog.
Derry, Maine.
Ooh, right author, but this one is the town of Castle Rock, Maine. Castle Rock, Maine. All right, Bobby, here's your next one. The houses near Conch Street are mostly made of scrap metal or whatever else happens to fall down around here.
I'm going to need one more hint.
I am located conveniently below the Marshall Islands.
Oh. I definitely... All right, I'll take the third hint.
My favorite restaurants include the Chum Bucket and the Krusty Krab.
Oh, it's SpongeBob. And what is the town? Is it called Bikini Bottom?
Nice pull at the end.
I know that. All right.
Finishing strong in round two. Coming up next is one more score break from Dan and on to our final round. Before we go to our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly gets the answer to this pop culture riddle from Dan by the time next week's episode drops, and you could win something.
I'm a signifier of particular note. Investment in infrastructure I do promote. Faced against rows of comfortable asses, my power can shatter your pair of glasses.
You think you know what that's all about? Find the page for this episode or the link in the show notes at for usaquizshow.com and show off that knowledge. Dan, thanks for that riddle. So how about a score update?
After two rounds of play, Derek is in the lead with 140 points and the half point. Bobby is close behind with 135, and Anna has 95 points, but that means she'll be going first in round three, where she'll need to get five correct answers in order to put herself into the lead.
Thank you, Dan. So this game is just like Frank Stallone in that it's far from over, because it's time for the lightning round. Players get their choice of categories and then have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You'll earn 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Latin, not American, turn on the lamp, not in America, and hold on for 365 more days. Now, the names of those topics are a smidge mysterious, so do your best to pick something that you're going to do well on or to keep something easy from a fellow player. Anna, in third place, you're going to get to choose first. Which of these categories would you like? Again, they are Latin, not American, turn on the lamp, not in America, and hold on for 365 more days.
I'm going to go with turn on the lamp.
Based on the title, what do you think turn on the lamp is about?
I have no earthly idea, but I thought maybe Aladdin.
Well, you're sort of in the right realm with Disney, but everyone's favorite lamp in pop culture has got to be the lamp from the Pixar logo. So you'll be answering questions about all things Pixar animation.
Wonderful.
90 seconds on the clock. Your time starts when I finish the first question. Anna, are you ready?
I am so ready.
After saying no to playing Buzz Lightyear, Billy Crystal later voiced this monster character.
Mike Wazowski.
Upon its release, this Pixar movie became the highest grossing of all time in Mexico.
Coco.
This Buffy creator has a screenplay credit on the first Toy Story.
Joss Whedon.
This 2009 tearjerker is the only Pixar movie to win the Oscar for original score.
WALL-E.
Up. After directing The Incredibles and Ratatouille, Brad Bird made his live-action debut with this live-action sequel.
Pass.
This sequel is Pixar's lowest-rated film on Rotten Tomatoes.
Cars 2.
Star Wars sound designer Ben Burtt is the credited voice of this title character.
WALL-E.
This culinary short film was Pixar's first by a female director.
Bao.
Prior to Onward's theatrical disruption by the coronavirus pandemic, this was Pixar's lowest grosser.
Oof, The Good Dinosaur?
This Toy Story 4 character has his own series of shorts on Disney+.
Forky.
In Cars, Lightning McQueen bonds with the residents of this town.
Pass.
When Pixar spun off from Lucasfilm in 1986, this tech mogul was its majority shareholder.
George Lucas.
No. Steve Jobs. A Bug's Life borrows many story elements from this Akira Kurosawa film.
Pass.
This volcanic musical short screened in front of Inside Out in theaters.
Lava.
This was the question about Finding Nemo that I got cut off on, but otherwise a strong round. Dan, give us the Anna report.
Anna only had three passes. It was Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol that was Brad Bird's live-action directing debut. Radiator Springs was the town Lightning McQueen wound up in. And many elements of A Bug's Life were borrowed from Seven Samurai. It's one of many movies that has stolen plot points from that Akira Kurosawa film. That said, Anna had nine correct questions. That gives her a total of 185 points, giving her a pretty good lead. Bobby has 135 points right now. That means he's going to need to get five questions correct in order to tie Anna and six in order to take the lead.
All right, Bobby, your category choices are Latin, not American, not in America, and hold on for 365 more days.
I think I'm going to choose hold on for 365 more days.
If you had to guess, what do you think this category is going to be about, Bobby?
I know that they're tricky, but I'm hoping that it has to do with like when things were released, maybe like years and stuff like that.
Oh, you're not far off. Hold on for one more day is a line from a Wilson Phillips mega hit song from the year 1990. But since it's 365 more days, you'll be answering questions about pop culture happenings from the whole year of 1990.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Bobby, are you ready?
I am.
He finalizes a divorce with actress Mimi Rogers.
Tom Cruise.
He provides many of the songs for Young Guns 2.
John Bon Jovi.
This Philip K. Dick adaptation has a massive budget, but it pays off at the box office.
Total Recall.
After This Old House, he gets his own home improvement show.
Bob Vila.
An ABC miniseries adapts this Stephen King book. It will be adapted again in 2017.
The Stand.
It. This acoustic music show premieres on cable.
Unplugged.
In a commercial for Life Call, the elderly Mrs. Fletcher speaks this immortal line.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Kevin Bacon stars in the first movie in this cult horror series featuring giant worm-like creatures.
Tremors.
This minister and children's TV host sues the KKK for impersonating his voice on tapes.
Pass.
Faye Dunaway stars in this film adaptation of a dystopian novel that later becomes a Hulu series.
Handmaid's Tale.
This California-based teen soap debuts on Fox.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Gary Marshall directs Julia Roberts to a second consecutive Golden Globe win for this movie.
Pretty Woman.
This Grammy-winning rapper gets his own sitcom on NBC.
MC Hammer.
Will Smith.
Oh, of course.
Fresh Prince sneaking in at the end there. Dan, give us the Bobby report.
Bobby only had one pass in that round. It was Mr. Rogers.
We were all babies.
Who sued the KKK for impersonating his voice on tapes used in robocalls. Aside from that, Bobby had 10 correct answers, giving a total of 235 points. That means Derek is going to need to get 10 questions correct in his category if he wants to take the win. It's tough, but we've seen competitors do it before.
All right, Derek, see if you can squeak that out with two category choices that are very similar, at least in their names, not in their content. You can either do Latin, not American, or not in America.
I'm so intimidated. Well, I'm not a big expert in Latin America as in Latin America or as in the ancient language of Latin. So I'm going to go with not in America.
Now, if you had to guess, what do you think not in America is going to be about, Derek?
Various ropes and other methods of fastening ropes in pop culture.
I like that guess. But as we all learn from the immortal film An American Tale, there are no cats in America, and the streets are paved with cheese, so you'll be answering questions about pop culture cats. 90 seconds on the clock. Derek, are you ready?
Yes.
Orion the cat wears a galaxy around his neck in this movie.
Men in Black.
This cartoon cat drops out of college and becomes a leftist revolutionary in an X-rated movie.
Pass.
Oscar Isaac loses one cat and abandons another in this Coen Brothers movie.
Inside Llewyn Davis.
In Homeward Bound, Sassy was voiced by this Oscar winner.
Sally Field.
Thomas O'Malley helps Duchess and her children in this animated movie.
The Aristocats.
Phoebe Buffay sang this song that asks, what are they feeding you?
Smelly Cat.
This Sigourney Weaver character has a cat named Jones.
Ellen Ripley.
Willem Dafoe kills Jeff Goldblum's cat in this Wes Anderson picture.
Pass.
An orange tabby named Goose is revealed to be an alien Flerken in this movie.
Captain Marvel.
Lucky the cat was never actually eaten by Gordon on this series.
Alf.
Dr. Evil and this cat lost their hair after cryogenically freezing.
Mr. Bigglesworth.
Garfield's comic strip has been drawn by him since 1978.
Jim Davis.
Sabrina's black cat is named for this witch trial town.
Salem.
Antonio Banderas ripped on his prior performance as Zorro when voicing this Shrek character.
Puss in Boots.
This tuxedo cat is best known for chasing Tweety.
Sylvester.
This cat... Oh, final question there about Toonsis, the driving cat from SNL. Dan, how about that Derek report?
Derek had just two passes in that round. Willem Dafoe killed off Jeff Goldblum's cat in The Grand Budapest Hotel. In the X-rated 1970s movie about a cat was Fritz the Cat. Derek overall got 13 correct answers, and that means our final standings are Anna with 185 points, Bobby with 235 points, and our winner with 270 points and the half point is Derek.
All right, woo, Derek, congratulations. Oh,
my heart was in my throat.
Big congratulations, Derek. That sadly means we do need to say goodbye to Anna and Bobby. But just because we can't keep following you on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show doesn't mean our listeners might want to see you out in the world. So, Anna, where can we find you?
You can find me on all social media channels at Anna Camp, C-I-A-M-P.
Wonderful. And Bobby, how about you? Anything to plug?
I have a website. It's robert-krut.com. And my Instagram is at Robert Krut.
Thanks for that. But a big congratulations again to Derek. You'll be moving on to the Season 1 Championship. Listeners, you'll hear Derek compete for all the season glory right here in 3 weeks' time. Until then, Derek, what are you going to be watching to study up to get your best game for the championship?
Probably a lot of Jeopardy, to be honest.
Always a safe bet. And Derek, anything to plug? What are you doing out in the world?
Oh, I'm not out in the world. I would say just go to my Instagram, Derek Martz, M-A-R-T-Z.
Wonderful. Always worth a follow. And you can also follow Derek as the candy bar emoji as he soldiers on to the end of the Season 1 bracket. Be sure to join us next week for the Delta Tau Chi Division Finals featuring returning champions Alex Floorboard Palumbo, Elon Daddy Pig Muscat, and Nick the Shark Reinwald Jones. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Hey, everybody. Remember Dan's riddle from before the lightning round? Make sure to follow the link in your show notes if you know the answer to win fabulous non-prizes like rights to name a score break. While you're on our website, check out show notes from other episodes, season brackets, and links to subscribe in all your favorite podcast apps.
Social media is 95% bad and evil, but you know what's not bad and evil? Our social media presence. You can find us at USA Quiz Show on both Instagram and Twitter.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is put together by five different Constructicons. They come together, and I think they're called Devastator. No, not really. It is created by our scoremaster and quizmaster, Dan Cassino, our host, Taylor Cole, and me, David T. Cole.
You may not subscribe to our beliefs, but you should subscribe to our podcast. Hit that button, and we'll see you next week.
Now I gotta look that up. Was it actually devastating?
Oh, no.
I mean, I qualified it. It was Devastator. Yay me.
Great.
Winter's Fell, Swordly Town.